You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What is up, everybody? Jeremiah Stringer here with my co-host, Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir. How's it going, Jason?
Doing good, my friend. Doing good. Excited about this. Great to have you last.
Well, if you're a normal viewer of the show, you may have already figured out I am driving the ship, or conning it, as you will, tonight. And Jason is along for the ride. He's already got to experience some of the stress and anxiety and troubleshooting that I've already gone through to make this show possible. But thankfully, John has left it in good hands with Jason on board. What do you think, Jason?
I think it was a last-second heroic act by you to get the show going. I can't believe we're on at 8. We're on. We're live. You know, I really didn't do much. I said, you got it, Jeremiah. It's about most of my help. But besides that, we had it. I do have a bone to pick with you, though.
Uh-oh.
This week, what about Kyle? We didn't get the great poop story from Kyle. What happened?
Well, Kyle, he self-admittingly says that he's all pooped out. He said that he's... Well... I have all the guests that have been on our show ever and how many times they've been on here. And it looks like that was Kyle's third appearance. So he may have already, in his defense, he may have already shared his best poop stories.
Okay. It's always good when you can relive the poop stories for the new audience, the new people on there in the comment section. Do y'all want to hear a good poop story?
Oh, Jason's already, he's already teeing them up in the comments. Speaking of, we have a bunch of awesome people already on here.
I've got to know if my voice sounds echoey. It sounds good. Let them know in the comment section.
Yeah, thank you.
Hawkers.
Yeah, I got a lot of people talking about what's going on, Hawkers. Which that's a little Easter egg. If people don't know, on my YouTube channel, it will pop up the closed captions. And for some reason, when I say what's going on, hikers, it says what's going on, hawkers.
Who's got a worse accent, or who's got a more beautiful accent, me or Jeremiah? Comment section. If somebody knows how to put a vote on that, do it.
Looks like Mike Watson says, look like. Yeah, a bit echoey. Maybe put in your AirPods.
Thank you, Doc.
All right. While you're doing that, Jason, teed you up in the comments for who's ready for a good poop story. Because on today's show, let's go ahead and bring him in. We have David Gray, the legend.
Yes.
You guys told me we were going to be talking all kinds of classy topics, and I came on. I'm coming on to talk poop stories. Okay, I got poop stories for you.
Yes.
Oh, you want to lead off with a poop story?
Oh, I can.
Yes.
Yes, please, David. Grace us with a poop story.
Well, there's so many. You know, it's kind of like endless. If anybody who's been out in the woods long enough probably has their own poop stories, but... probably the one that I remember the most, because it was probably the worst nightmare ever, is I think it was the 2018 Wind River Range trip. And that trip, anybody who's been in the winds, like early in the season, right after the snow melts, the mosquitoes can get kind of bad. And so we were deliberately finding campsites that had like as much wind as we could find, you know, totally out exposed, get the fires roaring with the smoke, and that would barely keep them under control. And even so, you had to cover yourself up with about three or four layers. But in the morning, when the wind died down and you didn't have a fire going, then you wanted to get some privacy for the morning ritual, you had to go in the woods. And you had no way to avoid stripping down those three layers of permethrin clothes. And I remember going in this really nice section of the woods, and like the second I stopped, I was covered in about a million mosquitoes in like bare nether regions. And you talk about, and there's only so fast you can do that. And so I'm just like literally every inch of my clothes, every inch of my skin is covered with mosquitoes as I'm going to the bathroom. And I never went so fast in my whole life.
That would be absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. I mean, was it just like, 25 mosquitoes, or was it like
that was the one, if you ever watched that video, that was like right after I went to the bathroom when we went out and there was a fire roaring and everything in the smoke. There were so many mosquitoes hoarding around me that I had like four of them on my toothbrush with my toothpaste. Yeah, there was like anybody, if you've been out, you know, you have certain trips that define like the set the bar for the worst of whatever, the worst weather, the worst rain, the worst, mosquitoes, the worst ticks. that one was so bad with the mosquitoes. It's like any trip I've ever taken, any time I've ever been exposed to mosquitoes, the saying we all have is, it's not as bad as it was in the winds.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you're ever thinking about hiking there, like this was like a late June, like right after the snow melted, the mosquitoes have been kind of like dormant all winter long, and they're just waiting for their opportunity to get somebody who's got some nice warm blood.
So, like maybe when the poo came out, did the mosquitoes go towards the poo and less off you, or is it still?
Nah, I think there was plenty. Yeah. There was plenty to go around for all of that.
Be like, okay, mosquitoes, go to the poo. Oh,
No.
I tell you, one thing I dealt with, I don't know how similar it is to the mosquitoes, but when I was on the long trail, at one point, I literally had to stay totally covered because, have y'all dealt with the black flies that bite?
Oh, they're worse. Yeah, I've had them a couple times. Never really bad, but they're worse, man. Those things are worse than mosquitoes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which I'd rather have. I remember one day I was sitting there. I stopped for lunch, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna eat my string cheese and my little cherry tomatoes," and then I sat down, and then I had to tuck my pants into my socks. And then I tried to eat, and there's just like gnats all around my head, just flying, landing terrible on my face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had to put on gloves, like, the real thin gloves that you just use for working outside with a rubber coating, put some of those on and a bug head net. And I remember this was like the first week on trail. I was like, if this is the way it's going to be, I don't know if I can do it. I remember I was sitting there and I had to lift up the head net, the bug head net, and take a bite of the string cheese and then pull it back down and chew it up and eat it. I was like, I don't think I could take a month of walking like that.
Just all around you. Even with, if you have a net on, it still kind of gets on you on there. It stays around you.
Yeah. Black flies are nasty. I've had those up in New Hampshire now for a backpacking trip, but I've been up there when the black flies were bad and they get into your hair. They like dig down. Oh, those things are nasty.
Yeah, we got a comment here about the black flies. This is by Rachel Jean, the Gypsy Queen. Black flies are terrible up in the ADK and upper Catskills in the summer. Awful. I assume that ADK stands for Adirondacks.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Okay. We had somebody earlier that was wanting to know, actually, David, about your Adirondack trip. I don't know if I can find the comment now, but they said back in 2020, you hit up the Adirondacks.
He was with Jeremy.
Jeremy organized that trip. And I learned a valuable lesson about trips that other people organize. because Jeremy did all of the work for that one. It was like right after COVID. It was, as a matter of fact, we were all meeting up in Lake Placid, and they had just the very day we got there into Lake Placid opened up restaurants for outdoor seating, not indoor, but they allowed some of the restaurants to have people sit outside, and you still had to wear a mask. And I was really looking forward to going up there and seeing some of the Lake Placid history from like the Winter Olympics. That was where the Miracle on Ice happened. The hockey team beating Russia and all that. They were all closed. Everything was closed. You couldn't go in and see anything. But Jeremy had done all the research on that trip, and I had no idea what I was getting into. And if you've ever hiked the High Peaks Traverse Trail in the Adirondacks, I found out afterwards, when I did some research on it, that a lot of people consider it to be the hardest trail in North America.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, Jeremy didn't tell me, but Jeremy had been working out for it for like a month and a half beforehand. And keep in mind, this is like in the peak of COVID when, like, you know, I work out. I had gyms, but all the gyms were still closed. You couldn't do anything. So I'd put on my COVID tonnage. And hadn't really done a lot of working out in advance. Well, Jeremy had lost like 20 pounds, done all kinds of upper body stuff because it was like literally like a jungle gym. But it was goat. And the other thing was we were with Jason Wish, and this is the first time I'd ever hiked with Jason.
He's a beast.
Yes, he is. My goodness.
I bet he's walking ahead, walking back.
So and it was it's good in the woods. Justin from New Hampshire was the first time I'd met him. So we had a big pack of us, and Jason was out in front. I'm pulling up the caboose in the back, and everybody's having to kind of lift me over the big rocks, but it was just like up and down vertical. It wasn't even hiking. It was more like a ninja training course. And the first day, plus it was really hot. And so we're hiking through the woods. I'm not in great shape because we hadn't really done much because of COVID and everything. I'm just dying. And so the whole first day was relatively easy. And then the second day we went up to where the High Peaks Traverse was, and it was straight up the top of the mountain. And then we got to the top of the ridge, and I'm thinking ridge type hiking, you know, it's going to be all smooth and flat. Nah, it was just, well, and on top of that, you know, I hadn't really loaded up with water. I, you know, normally carry about a liter and a half of water. And after about 3 hours of hiking, we'd covered about a mile and a half, and we had 7 miles to go. And I kind of came to the realization between before we got to the Gothics, it's like, I'm going to die up here. And I was already thinking, it's like, the only way I'm getting out of this is through helicopter, because there are no bail points at all. I mean, once you're in it, you're in it. And I'm just realizing, it's like, man, I have no business being on this trail. And everybody else who is up there, the smart people, what they do is they'll set up camp in a shelter because they got shelters down at the bottom of it. And then they day hike it with no packs. So we're the only guys up there with like full packs and just going up and down these just crazy, crazy terrain. And I ended up bailing. I told everybody, it was like, you know, Jason had taken off. He couldn't take the pace. So he was gone up ahead of us. Somewhere after the Gothics, there was one trail that went down to a shelter, and I said, man, guys, I got to bail. I'm going to die on this thing, because I wasn't in the shape for it. And I really had no business being up there. And ended up, you know, we all kind of went down together. We didn't want to split up. And then as we were going down off the Gothics, anybody who's ever hiked in there, you go down this sheer rock face. That's like one of the steepest things I've ever done. You know, it's probably 45 degrees or more. And you're going down this thing, and at the very bottom of it is like a cliff. And you're thinking the whole time, it's like, if I slip right here, I'm dead. Wow. And so we got down that, and then there was another one towards the bottom where it wasn't as steep, but it was still a sheer rock face, but vegetation had started to grow, so it was a little slipperier. And I ended up in one spot, I ended up slipping and kind of went down like a hurdler stretch with my full weight of my pack down on my knee. And I remember Justin, it's good in the woods, said, dude, that didn't look good, man. And I got up and I thought for sure I'd blown out my knee or something, and I could still walk and it didn't swell up. And because we still had 2 days to get back out to the car, you know, we had that full day back out to the shelter and then the next day. And I could still walk and it didn't swell up the next day. Well, later on, when I got back to Indiana, it ended up getting really bad. I found out I'd torn my meniscus in my knee. Wow. And I had to get surgery on it. This was back in, so I ended up getting surgery in like August. So I say it's like I left 60% of my meniscus in the Adirondacks.
That's a tough trip.
Ton of fun if you know what you're getting into and you're in the right kind of shape for it. I was just in over my head. It was probably the only time I've ever been hiking where Jeremy, it's not
sorry,
your fault,
David.
But it was probably the only time that I was ever on a trail like that thinking, man, I just physically didn't think I could do it. I mean, I've done a lot of hikes, but it was like, man, I was really questioning my physical ability to complete the hike. And you almost start getting this panic feeling like, man, it's like, what am I going to do? Because I couldn't go backwards. It was almost as bad hiking backwards as it was going forwards. And the thing that really got me is I was really short on water, and it was kind of warm, and it was just, the exertion was just unbelievable. So yeah, that was the Adirondacks trip.
I remember Wish talking about it, saying how hard it was.
Yeah.
You know, if Jason Wish is saying it's real tough, and it's tough. And well, he was talking about how slow he had to go to make mileage, and it was just, yeah,
it is slow going, and there's no water. You just have to really, I mean, if you were doing it again, you know, it's like a lot of hikes like that. If you do it the second time, you kind of know what you're getting into, and mentally you're ready for it. But and it was like a classic example of Jeremy had planned the whole trip. So I didn't really do a lot of research in advance. I'm thinking like New York, how hard could it be?
That's
like
what I was getting ready to say. It's in New York.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, it could be pretty hard in New York. I learned a valuable lesson about the Adirondacks for all the people that hike up there. I have an awful lot of respect for people that hike up in that part of the woods.
It's a bucket list for me, for sure. Like I've watched a lot of videos on the Adirondacks. It looks so much fun, but you're definitely making me weary.
you just gotta be prepared for it, and you gotta be in shape. And I would recommend, I would love to go back and do it again, and do it like most of the people did there, where they set up a base camp.
Yeah.
And made for that. Then they do the day hiking, because it's a blast. The hiking is an absolute blast if you're not carrying. Well, and that's the other thing. It looked like, I thought it was going to be really cold when we were there, because the weather forecast, it was like we went in, I guess it was June of 2020, and the weather forecast, we kept calling the rangers and they go, man, you guys can get snow. You don't know what kind of weather. So I had all my, you know, warm weather gear, because I didn't know
heavy
what we
pack.
Were going to. Yeah, so my pack was super heavy. And I remember Goat one time picked up my pack when there were places where you had to take your pack off to get across spots. Like get across some of these rocks and everything, and you'd jump across, and then you'd toss the pack back up. And Goat had my pack, and he remembered the two dogs, you know, Bailey and Jaden. He goes, "What'd you bring the two dogs in your pack on this trip too?" And then I remember Jeremy had this little tiny day pack thing, man. It looked like a little kid with their pack that they take to elementary school. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, he's like, I got a 4 pound pack, and plus he'd lost like 30 pounds off his body getting ready for the trip. I'm going, yeah, I probably should have known that coming into it.
Jeremy, he's commented on here a couple of times. He said he wants a redo.
Yeah.
Maybe y'all can head back up there, and maybe you can be a little bit more hands-on on the planning portion.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, it's mention of Jeremy. I got the secret sauce from him for the Atoll chili dog. And I made it. And I shared it with Jeremiah out on the backpacking trip. Good, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
You almost have to do it on a trip, though.
We were on a trip.
Yeah, we was on a trip.
I think that's one of the magic ingredients, is just eating it around a campfire out in the woods.
I got to one ingredient that I couldn't figure out, and I had to call Jeremy while I was in the store. And I was like, look, dude, I cannot figure out what you're talking about on this. And then he kind of guided me through it, but I cannot tell. I cannot tell.
I asked for the secret recipe on film, and Jason would not tell me.
No, 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 no. Wow. There's one thing that kind of gives it the extra kick on there. If I'm still echoing, somebody tell me, Doc.
Yeah, somebody said that you sounded good right after Doc said that you were echoing. So I think I think you may be okay, but definitely let us know down in the comments. Yeah, David, we're talking about this Atod chili sauce. So
what are you guys talking about? Is it a cooking show or what?
Yes.
If you've ever had Atod chili sauce out in the woods around a campfire, it's like one of those memorable experiences for sure.
It's got such good kick to it.
Let me tell you what happened on this last trip. And then I want to talk to you about the trip that we went together on recently.
Okay. David.
But first, Jason and I recently were on a trip, and he said, I'm going to bring dinner the first night if it turns out okay. So he made this Atod chili sauce. I guess Jeremy gave him the recipe, the secret ingredient. Jason's extra special.
Thanks,
and
Jeremy.
So he made this up. And then packed it all out for us. He had, we couldn't finish them all, but he packed out a pack of hot dogs and buns. And I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I brought some chips, but Jason heated this up over the fire while we were out. We were about a mile and a half, 2 miles in on the trail. And then hot dogs were so delicious. I had one in the morning, man. You ever sliced one in half, David, and fried it like when you were a kid?
I have, yeah. I love hot dogs. I especially love hot dogs out in the woods. There's just something about them, man. I could live on those things. Probably not the best thing in the world for you, but there's just something about them over a fire like that.
Did you ever eat sauerkraut when you was younger? Like hot dogs and sauerkraut?
No, I didn't when I was younger, but I do now. I like sauerkraut now. I like Reubens and sauerkraut on like chili dogs or something.
You do it with pinto beans?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay. I just
sauerkraut, pinto beans, any cornbread?
Yeah. Of course.
What about fried taters?
Yes, with a little cheese. Yeah. Velveeta.
With a little cheese on what? Yeah,
I think it was your like Red River Gorge trip that we took where we were up. Well, Jeremiah came up in the snow on that one. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Eagle's nest. And that was the trip where everybody had like real food. And I got turned on to like the whole crowd had some sort of steak or Atod's chili dogs or whatever. And I go, why am I not carrying like a steak or some sort of real food out? And I'm doing like Mountain House on these trips when you're just like doing an overnighter.
Yeah.
And it was like, so ever since then, I think I barely even like all I do is like I'm like one of those blue collar hikers with the jeans and everything, carrying my like real food out in my 80-pound pack because I just can't. Yes. It's so good out in the woods like that. I can't get over it.
Yeah, I love the good food when we're out there. You remember Jeremiah on that trip? You know, this was pitch dark, snowing, wet. And there's no way like really to find us except go up the mountain, just go up the hill. And I can't believe Jeremiah found us on that trip. You know, I mean, he was way all the way down the hill. He's blowing his rape whistle.
For the record, that's the whistle on the clasp of your backpack.
They work though, man. We could hear it was not only was it pitch dark, it was like we got about 3 inches of snow. It was like a blizzard too.
Yes. Oh, it was blowing in my face.
Jeremiah was all by himself. Everybody else was up on top of the ridge, you know, and all I could tell him was go up, Jeremiah, just go up, man. Keep blowing your whistle. Keep coming up.
Dude, blowing your whistle.
I'll be honest with you guys. That was probably the first time in my life where I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be meeting these people here. And I think I'm going to have to stop and set up camp because I cannot do it. You know, with the snow and the sleet and the having no idea. I don't know if I told you this, David. I didn't download a map of the area. So I had talked to Jason on the phone like 2 days before, and he was explaining to me. And so I looked on the map, and then I was trying to remember his direction, and it was just me out there walking in the pitch black with the snow in my face. I remember when I had to put on the headlamp, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then we made it up there, and I had some delicious Oreo balls.
Yeah.
I remember go ahead.
I was going to say, those are the kind, if you can make it through something like that, and then you show up at camp and you got a fire going, it's like that emotional roller coaster is like, that's what you live for backpacking. That is like the greatest feeling in the world when you're like cold and miserable and kind of freaked out because you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. Then you finally find your way there and there's a fire roaring and people sitting around and food going and you get all warmed up again. Man, that is like, that's like what you live for backpacking.
When he was at the bottom of the hill, he kind of got a phone signal. So we had one for just a second. And I was like, what do you see? He said, I see trees and roots. I said, that's it. I said, you're at it, man. Go straight up.
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, I said, just go up. I said, that's it. Just go up. But yeah, it was pretty happy when I see that headlamp coming through there. You know, I was like, oh, my boy found us on there. That was pretty good of you on there. Because it'd been easy to say, I'm just going to stay down here, you know, down at the bottom of the hill because there's water there and everything. But no, he did a trooper, came on up the hill and everything.
You know, for some reason, the next day in the daylight, whenever you got to walk out, it's always so much shorter and it's always so much like less intimidating. And you're like, wow, this was all.
Yep. But
yeah,
I mean, it's straight up and down to that one, you know, it's about an eighth or quarter mile going all the way up to the top.
Oh yeah. That's
tough. Which is very steep.
Rewarding view though. Couldn't see it at night, but the next morning walking out there to that point, and that'd been a perfect time for a drone. David, I seen in one of your videos, you're using a drone that right there, that area, because people actually climb down there. And I is it true that people have fallen off that part, Jason?
Yeah. We haven't even said where he was at. We was at the Eagles Nest, Eagles Buttress, and Red River Gorge. So if anybody knows that area, you know how that big steep incline going up to the top is. And you know how kind of tricky it is to find it, if anybody. But yeah, people do hop down this little nest area, but it's the second most dangerous in the gorge. It's the second most deaths.
I remember you took me out there that
morning. Oh, that's right. Yes.
And I was getting creeped out just being up on the top of it. And then you started going out closer towards the edge and you go, people climb down right there. And I'm like, not this person, man.
Me neither.
That creeped me out just being, you know, I didn't even want to be close to the edge of it to think people actually climb down. Oh, man.
I took David out to Coppers Falls and then we went up to the nest. If people know the Red River Gorge area, you know about Coppers Falls and so forth. But yeah, man, that was a good one on there. I told David, I said, this would be a real easy hike. I said, no problem. We'll be in and out, man. It's be real easy. Yeah. You know, 5 hours later,
I remember I had the two dogs and I found out later and all the down trees when we were going out to the falls, it was just exhausting, you know, just trying to get the dogs up, pick them up over the trees. And then I found out later we had to bail because Jaden was sick. He had a abscess tooth I didn't know about. And the next morning, it was really cold that next morning after the snow came in. I think it was down in like 20 degrees or something. And their water bowl was frozen. And Jaden was like shivering. And I just felt horrible, you know. So I'm trying to get him warm and cover him up. And I decided to bail. And Jeremy went out with me. Took one for the team and we went out kind of like up on the top down to the cars from Eagle's Nest. And it was like nothing but down trees. Cause it was, I can't remember what time of year that was, if it was January or February.
I think it was January.
But the trails there were really no trails. We weren't on any marked trails. We were kind of like just in the back doing backwoods stuff.
Yeah.
But that was one of my more memorable nights I've ever spent out in the backcountry with you guys. And that was just an awesome night. I mean, you don't think like, hey, how could you have so much fun in the snow? But it was kind of an adventure in a way. And we had this big roaring fire going. So we were warm. Dogs were covered up. I put the down jackets on them. So they were nice and toasty warm by the fire. We had all kinds of food and it was pretty cool.
You know, the first time that I met you, David, was at the Ohio meetup.
I remember.
And Shields were there. Bryce was there.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was 2019. Bryce, yeah.
Yeah, and good old rest in peace. What was his name? John.
Yeah, John Coffey.
John Coffey.
The Unpaved Explorer. R.I.P.
Unpaved Explorer. R.I.P.
That's where I met all of you guys. I mean, it was
that's the first time I met you.
I remember walking around there, and that was the Jason. I remember meeting Jason Wish, and he had just finished one of his Sheltowee Trace, like, fastest known time things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, the day before or something. I mean, he had just finished it. So he was, like he looked like a concentration camp survivor.
He looked sickly.
He's always skinny anyways, and he lost all this weight. But it was, I remember just, I was, like, overwhelming meeting everybody that night.
That's the first time I met, like, the Shields. Let's see, Restless was there.
Yeah.
Goat was there. Yeah. Whatever happened to all these guys? Bryce is still putting stuff out. I'm not sure anybody else is. On there, Josh Ebersole was so excited to see you. I remember how happy he was. He's like, I got to get a picture with David. Josh is so nice on there.
Yeah, congrats to Josh. Him and his wife actually just bought their first house.
I saw that. I've been following his adventures, man. That's been cool.
I was so happy for him, man. They've been through some tough times. Yep. And, you know, to see them out on top now, I mean, that's incredible. There's a lot of people at that meetup. I remember we played cornhole there.
Yeah, man.
Jeremy carried cornhole.
I remember I was doing a video of the cornhole, and I was like zoomed in on the hole, and it was like one after the other was going.
That was probably me.
Didn't time it or anything. It was just like, man, what are these guys like? So, you know, the guys on that, they have like the cornhole leagues now that you see on TV with the guys with all the decals and stickers. You know, it's like look like NASCAR drivers doing cornhole.
They are so good. They are so good at it. I mean, yes. I mean, they can nail them one after another. They've had an Ohio meetup in a while, I guess.
Well, they got the Indiana.
I've been to a couple Indiana ones. That was the only Ohio one I've been to.
Well, a couple of
Red River Gorge ones here lately.
Yeah.
Nicole hikes a lot.
Shout out to Nicole.
Yep. Yeah, I missed that one. I really feel bad that I missed that one.
Well, I think she's doing another one next October.
It's really cool to see people from, I mean, there's people from New York, you know, I mean, all over the place that come for those meetups sometimes. And it's such a good time, you know, to get to meet people and talk to them. And the Indiana one, I want to try to get to it. I've been backpacking a lot of the Indiana boys and everything.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Josh. Hey.
Congratulations, Josh.
Yeah, congrats, Josh. Yeah, guy like Josh. They'll come much nicer than him.
You know, a lot of those connections that we've made at these meetups are still going strong, too. Like, actually, this LBL trip, LBL trip that we went on. I remember that at the Ohio meetup, we were playing cornhole, and Sparky was the guy that was my opponent, and he was right next to me. So, you know, cornhole board's only, what, a 2 foot wide or something?
Sparky, he was at the Ohio meetup.
He was there, I remember, and that same person that I was playing cornhole against back in 2000, you said it's 2019?
Yeah, it was November of 2019.
Well, that same person I rode in his Ford Raptor at that LBL trip. Come to think of it, that was 3 or 4 years later, right there.
2024.
Still hanging out, still having fun, still going.
Yeah, that was almost like a meetup, that LBL trip, man.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely it was. I mean, don't get much better than that. I mean, just riding in vehicles, mud.
Yeah, I'm wanting to ask David, which do you think is more fun? David, do you have more fun riding along because Jeremy has this mean Bronco or somehow you always seem to end up behind the steering wheel in different vehicles? I don't know what it is, but
that's because Jeremy always feels the need to get out and like guide everybody through all the stuff. So I end up driving, I think. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I love overlanding. I don't love it as much as backpacking, but but I'll tell you, I'll take any trip I can get nowadays.
That was a fun trip.
I'll tell you, there's some nice things about overlanding with all the, well, number one, it's a lot easier on your knees and everything. You got a place to kind of like go to if the weather gets really bad. You get real food. And I tell you, it's nice. It's really nice, but it's not, I still prefer backpacking. It's just harder and harder to get on backpacking trips because I used to be a lot more willing to go solo. But when you know, the thing I just enjoy so much now is being with a big group of people, and it's just not the same. I mean, especially Jaden, my dog Jaden died last year, and there was something about kind of took the wind out of my sails because all the backpacking I had ever really done, almost all of it was with him. And when he died, it was like beginning of the season last year. And that time of year was always when I did my trips with the dogs, you know, either Red River Gorge or one time we went down to Alabama, you know, just always something with the dogs. And it just wasn't the same. You know, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And we did a couple trips last year, but I still love backpacking more, but I find it harder to get out on the trip solo than I used to. You know, I used to be, I'd just jump in, you know, because that was like, if you're going to go on some trip, sometimes you just got to do it by yourself because you can't get people to go along with you. But I just love being with people more and more the older I get, I think.
Kentucky boy is only a call away.
I know.
You got a lot of people in your area too, of Indiana.
Yeah,
you know, quite a few people. That hiking guy, Chris and Carlson, and
yep,
and Jeremy, of course. And
well, people. I want to do more. I mean, there was a couple of years there where, you know, I only got so much vacation, and so I was trying to pack in all kind of like the bucket list trips. Yeah. So, you know, I could only It was like even on a great year, I could only do about maybe 5 trips, and that'd be a great year.
Yeah.
And because that's all the vacation I had, so I would do like. Back in, this was like 17, 18, 16, 17, 15, 16, 17 were probably my peak years. Then I'd just pack in like a Colorado trip with Christian because my son lived out there. And then I'd try to do a glacier trip and we did the winds and I did the Sierra Nevada, you know, but I was just trying to pack in like the real bucket list type trips. And I didn't do a whole lot of Indiana stuff just because they're just, you know, it was like when it's kind of like anybody who goes skiing. Once you've skied in like the Rockies and Colorado and some of that stuff, it's kind of hard to do Indiana skiing. And it's the same sort of thing with backpacking. But I tell you, I'm gonna get back into it because I started a new job last year too, like right after Jaden died actually, and I don't have a whole lot of vacation, and so I won't be able to do as many of the big trips, but the way this company works, I get every other Friday off. And so it's perfect for like putting in a local trip, you know, Kentucky or Indiana. So that's my plan this year, is I'm going to try to do more of the trips that I did early on, you know, when I first started backpacking, get back into it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some good spots. I've seen, you know, Chris, that hiking guy, they just got through doing one around some creeks and lakes. And I was like, that's a beautiful area. And it's in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, the two lakes trail. That was one. I've done that hike. I did it with Christian. It was Christian's first hike. And we were getting ready. It was 2011, maybe. And we were getting ready. The two lakes trail was the first one we did. And then we did the Shawnee Loop Trail, which was kind of a disaster because it was like 95 degrees and 100% humidity. And we had Jaden, and we ended up bailing on that trip because I damn near killed my dog.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was awful. And it was like one of these things. There was a point we're back in the middle of nowhere, and it was so freaking hot. Jaden laid down on some forest road and he goes, "I'm done. I'm not moving on." It was like, "We're done." And so it was like, man, we can't keep pushing on. Something really bad is going to happen. So we ended up, we were out like on some dirt forest road, like what we were doing with overlanding. And we're walking down this road and this old dude comes along in a pickup truck. Like the pickup truck was as old as he was, you know, like a 1950s pickup truck or something.
Nice.
And I stood in the middle of the road. I wasn't hitchhiking. I was like like hijacking this guy. I was carjacking this guy. And I stood in the middle of the road because it was like, man, if we don't get out of here, this is not good. And he stopped and he was super cool. Then we piled in the back of his pickup truck and we bailed out to where our car was. But that was, I just remember, I'd never been on a hotter backpacking trip in my life. And it was like, I don't know what I was thinking. It was like, oh, you know, we're used to hot weather in Indiana or whatever, but this was a different kind of hot. And so we did, Christian and I did the Two Lakes Trail. And then we did that Shawnee backpack trip as kind of warm up for, we were going to do this trip up on the Continental Divide in the Zirkle Wilderness up by Steamboat Springs in Colorado. And this was another lesson, you know, I'm like brand new backpacker. This might be my first Colorado trip. I don't know anything about hiking in Colorado. And it was 4th of July weekend. And so in Indiana, you're thinking 4th of July weekend is prime time summer. And I found out on the Continental Divide, 4th of July is still winter.
Yes, absolutely.
So we get out there, and Christian had been staying with a buddy at this ranch kind of thing, you know, for a week, doing mountain biking and stuff. And so I picked him up at this ranch, and I had this whole route planned up from Steamboat up in the Zirkle Wilderness. And it was right along the Continental Divide Trail because it runs right through there. And I remember talking to one of these guides that guide these hiking trips and everything. And he goes, and I had Jaden, I didn't have Bailey at the time, but I had Jaden. And he goes, you could do that if you don't mind post holing up to your waist through about 4 miles of trail. You know, to get up to the top. He said, the snow's really deep and it's pretty loose and you know, you'll sink in for sure. And he said, the stream crossings might kill you too. And so I'm like,
Colorado.
Yeah. Welcome to July hiking in early July hiking in Colorado. And this, you know, it was a valuable lesson. I never made that mistake again. It's like all my Colorado trips, I always either kept really close eye on the snowpack depths, 'cause you can do that. Or just, you know, I always plan to hike late July into August. You know, that was, and so all you'll see after that, all my backpacking trips in Colorado were basically like the beginning of August, middle of August, when you know the snowpacks. Because the other thing is, even if the snowpack's not bad, all that snow melting into the streams makes the stream crossings just insane. And that's actually become kind of a bigger fear of mine, you know, later. Even we ran into a stream like that at Yellowstone last year, where we went really early in the season. It was 4th of July weekend again, and it was fine. There was no snow where we were hiking, but the snow, the streams and the rivers were all being fed by the snow that was melting up higher. And so if you went later in the day, you know, when the snow had been melting all day long, the streams, the rivers were up high and flowing like crazy. And we had a couple really sketchy river crossings that I did not enjoy at all.
No, you got to always respect the water.
Yeah,
sure.
It doesn't take much. And I mean, there were spots of it that, you know, weren't up higher, much higher than, you know, above your knee, you know, halfway up your waist. But the force of the water, you know, even when it's that deep, is it can take you away, man. It's hard and it's exhausting. And the water is like barely above freezing because it's coming right off melting snow. And it can be terrifying, man. You get yourself in some situations and it's like you don't know whether you should go forward or back. And we ran into that river. It was probably only 2-3 miles into our hike. And so it was like, what are we going to do? Turn around and end our hike right here after 2 miles? I have since learned, you know, where we went. It was in the Black Canyon of Yellowstone, way up kind of in the northern part of Yellowstone. And I've since learned that there was a bridge that we didn't know about, you know, about somebody goes, why didn't you guys just cross over the bridge? And I'm like, well, number one, we didn't know anything about a bridge. The trail, all the maps we had showed the trail going straight across the river. And we had gotten a briefing from the rangers like the day before when he picked up our permit. And we asked him, like, anything we need to worry about, you know, sketchy river crossings? Oh, no, you know, you guys should be fine. That was about the extent of our briefing. And I remember when we're halfway across the river, we were having some choice words for that ranger back at the backcountry permit office.
He's like, surely these boys will take the bridge.
That's right. Yeah, they must know about the bridge.
Yeah, surely they'll take the bridge.
I still don't know where that bridge is. We'll have to go back and hike that again just to find that damn bridge.
Dude, that snow is no joke. Jason, do you know when we went to Colorado?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you talk about the creek and everything. When we was up there, and you, it was the same trail you was on, actually, David, the Holy Cross Wilderness.
Yeah, I remember
those guys were swimming in the creek. Karate Josh, Tim Watson. I don't know if Jeremiah got in there or not.
No, I was not
like getting by choice. Oh, yes. They were cleaning up. Oh, man.
No, they was just too cold, cold water.
They were doing the cold plunge.
Yeah. I said, no. No, I was like, I'll pass on that.
I'll stay. I don't mind being dirty. I don't like being cold like that. Sometimes hard to warm up from that.
That dude Karate Josh was tough as nails up there. I mean, he was in incredible shape. Just, you know, he would hike on and wait for us, and we'd walk 50 feet and be like, you know, breathing.
Is he from around there?
He's from Ohio, but he goes to the gym.
Oh, okay.
Constantly, yeah.
He lives in the gym, man. Yeah. Doing 100-mile bike rides every day. He's beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. But it was incredible. Still, you'd think that his lungs or something would get him, you know, because we was all up there for 4 or 5 days, and we was all dragging, you know, 50 feet, stop. And there he was just hiking along. I'm over here, guys. We'll get to you.
You know, it is amazing, though, that the altitude, it affects people differently. You know, it just some people just don't seem to have any trouble with it. And I found early on when I was hiking, maybe it was a lot of it was mental where I just didn't even think about it. You know, it's like, hey, you know, how bad could it be? And you're just kind of doing it. And the older I get, and maybe the more conservative I get or scared I get, I don't know. I mean, you build up all these experiences from backpacking. So you kind of know what can happen.
Yes.
You know, the bad stuff that can happen, and it just builds up. So you're constantly thinking about, oh, I got to worry about that. And I got to worry about that. And I don't know what it is, but it's like these trips I've taken recently, the altitude, I think it's because I'm older too, but the altitude hits me harder than it used to. Yeah. It didn't used to hit me that bad. I mean, I would still feel like short of breath if you were up high enough. But I never really got sick from it. You know, it was like, I've had a couple experiences where you actually start feeling, you know, sick enough from it that it worries you about, like, man, if I was at, you know, like you had to, you know, 3 days back in this stuff and I had to cross over a couple mountain passes, you wouldn't want to be feeling like that.
I started getting like in the mornings, I'd be ready to throw up and I would be coughing like some blood. And it was like on day 3 or 4. On there, and
that's scary.
I was like, it's getting to me, you know. Yeah.
No, that's scary. Yeah. I mean, it's like you do this stuff for fun. It's like you don't want to
damage
your life or anything.
Karate Josh was the only person that didn't have any altitude problems. There was a day where I literally only said 3 or 4 words the whole time.
Tim Watson said, "Is Jeremiah okay?" I said, "Yeah, he's all right, man."
Altitude.
Tim was, we got to this pass and had to turn around, and Tim was, he put on all of his layers, and then suddenly the temperature dropped to 40 degrees. It started hailing. We had to make a fire, put up a tarp and get under it away from the hail. And Tim was just, he couldn't stop shivering. And one of our other buddies, Adam, he threw up 2 or 3 times that same day. Cause that pass was, I don't know.
That was like fancy pass you guys were heading up.
I can't remember.
Make up over. I think it's fancy. It was where you had it was a big rock scramble when you went over it. But this was just covered in snow.
You guys were there a lot earlier in the season.
We needed snowshoes. We needed micro spikes of snowshoes.
Well, that's
Ohio and Kentucky just winging it up there.
I remember that climb, and you see it from, I mean, it's like you see what you have to do the whole way, and it's like, I looked on the map and it was like 1,000-foot climb in like a half a mile or something like that. I mean, it was like it was 1,000 feet in less than a mile. And usually when I'm thinking, like, if you're climbing 500 feet in a mile, you know, that's about the extent, you know, I used to in the old days, I'd be able to kind of power my way up through it without stopping too many times. But 1,000 feet in a mile is real steep. And this was like even steeper than that. And the last part of it, like right before the pass, I know where you guys got stuck with that snow. It's just like a V, you know, it's just like this slot canyon thing. And if, man, I wouldn't even, it was hard enough doing it like when it was bone dry when Christian and I did it. I can't imagine trying to do that when there's snow on it.
There was people leaving. And they was like, we couldn't get up it, you know. And so we was like, oh, we're going to try and see if we can do it, you know. And no, it was silly. What would have been even worse is if we got to the top and had to go down. That would even been
the other
even
side.
A lot worse. Yeah, yeah. That would have been even a lot worse. You know, we wouldn't need, but luckily we turned around and there was a storm coming and that you know hit us and everything. And yeah, makes for tough times. Beautiful scenery though, absolutely beautiful up there.
Yeah, I remember watching all the videos from that trip from you guys. That was really kind of fun watching everything because it you know, it's a place whenever you hike someplace where you've been already and you all the other people, it's kind of like brings back all the memories.
Yeah. Well, we kind of copied yours. We was kind of doing your route. Actually, yeah. I think I hit you up and you gave me like
I think that's right. Yeah, I told you where we had camped and stuff.
Yeah. So I was like, this is how we'll do it.
That's a beautiful area. I want to get back there too. I'm running out of time, man.
You see a snow-capped mountain. You see a waterfall. You see a raging creek. And then behind you, you see lakes. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. You know, scenery overload. I'm just like, I mean, it's freaking beautiful up there. But you've got to earn it. You earn it getting up there.
Yeah, that was and it's pretty high. It's really high altitude there, too.
I think had like a little, what are they called, marmots? Is that what they're called? Look like fat squirrels.
Oh, marmots.
Marmots. Yeah. And that little sucker is about ready to fight me. He's fucking swelled up. And I said, I was like, little dude. I was like, you get ready to go round and round. And he freaking was like,
He bowed up, start puffing.
And I was like, dude.
And he stand up on those rocks. And
and I was just like, look at this guy. You know, he reminds me of like raccoons around here get kind of, you know, ready to fight you. You know, if you see a raccoon.
It's his territory, man.
But he was, he swelled up that little body. I was like, dude, I got my hiking stick, you know, out there. But what a great area. You know, where you're up in those high areas like that, David, you know, I heard of a thing called painting rocks. Have you ever heard of this expression? So if you're in an area, you know, an area say you don't have a wag bag. You don't have a wag bag, you know, and you got a poo-poo and it's in a high. It's explain to me what painting rocks is. And in the comment section, if you know what painting rocks means or knows, just go ahead and throw it out there. David?
I was going to share. I don't remember exactly how I got this book, but there is a book called How to Poop in the Woods. It's not exactly the title, but it's
one question. Did you read the book while pooping in the house?
Yeah, it's like you're sitting there, it's like leaping through it.
And that reading material.
No, it was actually a guy I worked with gave it to me, and I'm like, well, first of all, I'm thinking, why would anybody have this book? And it's like people actually write books about this, so it just goes to show you can write a book about anything. But there was an entire chapter in there on. Well, they go through all the different methods, you know, and how to properly take care of your business. But one of them that caught my eye was a chapter on painting rocks is what it was called. And I'm like, reading this going, they're not really going to be doing this. Sure enough, you know, it was the proper technique. And they're like dead serious as they're explaining all this. But when you're like in a real high alpine environment, like, you know, above tree line and the vegetation's real fragile and delicate. You don't want to be like digging holes in it. Well, the proper technique apparently is to take a stick and spend your time kind of like covering the outside of the rock. And you'd think that's kind of nasty, but apparently in that type of a dry environment, it dries up and blows away really, really quickly.
A stick.
Or whatever, thought, whatever, man. However you want to do it,
Jeremiah. You paint the rock with a stick?
You got
that's
it,
how I envisioned that, it.
It's like drywall.
I envision that you're taking the rocks and using it as your teepee. You know,
oh, you do that too. Yeah, you do that. You can do that too.
Butthole with that, with the rock. Sorry, JK.
There was a guy, I don't know if anybody's ever read any of Mike Cleland's book. I can't remember. It's his last name was like spelled with two C's in a row to start it, like McClellan, but just CCLELAND. And he was an animator by trade. He does cartoons. And so he did this entire book on backpacking tips. And he had this whole huge section on going to the bathroom in the woods. And he never carried toilet paper on his trips. Never.
Oh,
So you can imagine, and a lot of this whole thing was like on how he takes care of that without any toilet paper. And so he used, and he had a whole section on what to avoid, what to look out for. You know, if you're using natural leaves and vegetation for your toilet paper, you got to be a little careful on what you use. But he said, if you're in an area with smooth rocks, that's the best, man. And then he talked about how you find out who your friends are. And you got to imagine in his book, it's got cartoons to all of this stuff. You know, it's all animated. So, and he said, now here's how you find out who your real friends are. Because like when you've been off doing this with no toilet paper and you can imagine your hands. Well, anyway, so he come back and he didn't want to like take his hands and get his like sanitizer out. So he would ask his friends to squirt some sanitizer in his hands.
Oh. To
disinfect properly. He said, that's how you really find out who your good friends are.
If you went that far, I'm sure the WAG bag community didn't want to hear any of this talk about painting rocks. But hey, you know, sometimes you got to go with it.
That's right.
Like Rod Outdoors, good practice for
spack. These comments are hilarious.
I know. I've been reading them.
That's hilarious.
I've been reading the comments. I can't put them all up here, but I've been reading them. It's hilarious. I was texting one of my buddies. He was asking for like some advice on gear and stuff recently, and he had done a 3-month stint on the PCT like last year or the year before. And
you're talking about
this guy's name is Greer. We've had him on the podcast before. We've more talked about van life and that kind of stuff, a little bit about his PCT hike. But he's texted me the other day because he's about to do the Appalachian Trail. And so, you know, I live East Coast, and his vast experience had been like PCT style backpacking. So that's kind of a different kind of beast than the Appalachian Trail style. And he was asking about gear and stuff. And I told him he has to get one of these little bidets. David, I don't know if you've seen this. Jason, do not roll your eyes. Remember the other day I told you I talked to Matt and I was calling him about his bidet? Because this guy, he has a bidet in his house. It's a Toto, which is a very popular, it's heated, it's got the female feature, it self-cleans, it's heated water. Heated
I don't even know what the difference is from female and male. I guess I can kind of get a pretty good idea of what the thing is. But
yeah, I won't get too explicit, but it'll clean you no matter if you're male or female, no matter your plumbing parts, we'll say.
And you can put the water temperature.
Yeah, you can change the water temperature. You can adjust angles, all this stuff, right? You can spend thousands of dollars on these bidets. Anyway, I was telling my buddy, I had to call Matt because I was asking what it was because I need to tell him to put one in his house. But he's about to start the AT, and I said, you have to try this little pocket bidet. And he texted me back, and I quote, he said, yeah, always used leaves on the PCT. Still might leave water spots, but like the idea over TP. And I wanted to get your all's opinion on this. What do you think about Greer? Hopefully he doesn't mind me saying this to the world, but I'm putting it out there. He said, I didn't say his last name.
Oh,
okay. That's his first name is Greer?
I don't know if it's nickname or middle name. No.
Okay.
But anyway, what do you all think about him only using leaves on the PCT? I don't even know how that works because I thought the part of it was desert.
Yeah.
And second of all, do you think that the bidets would leave water spots?
Well, I would be worried about being able to find proper foliage for doing that when you needed to do it, because there's a whole big chunk of that where you're in the desert, man. The type of stuff, vegetation there is going to be probably pretty nasty for that type of job.
Just sand and cactus. I don't know which one do you wipe with first, the sand or the cactus?
Any of that, just and there's not
in the desert.
There's not going to be a lot of excess water to clean up with either. So that sounds like a little sketchy to me. But
I think I would carry the toilet paper, but no on the bidet. that's a definite no. And the leaves, man, I'm with David. I think I don't think so on either one. No on both.
Gary's David, favorite. No yeah. on the bidet.
Oh, he hesitated. He hesitated.
That sounds like a man who's used a bidet before.
I have actually.
yes. Yes.
Well, I actually made a video. I never made this video public, but I did a trip to Japan once.
Oh,
and they had that in the hotel room.
Dude, they're in the year 3000 in Japan. They're in the year 3000 when it comes to bathrooms. The year 3000.
It was the most complicated toilet I've ever seen in my life. It had, and all, of course, all the instructions were in Japanese. So I have no idea what this thing is doing. So I started hitting buttons, and one of them, this little wand came out, right? And from the back, and water started squirting up, and I made this video.
Like, what?
Yeah, I didn't ever make it public. Please, it was one of my earliest. It was one of my. I'll have to send it to you guys because it's out there. Like, it's an unlisted video. I'll send you the link.
Please,
please.
But it was like, hey, you got to check this out. I'm on this work trip in Japan, and look what I got in my room. And I hit this button, and this thing comes out, and the water just starts going like a drinking fountain. And so it's spraying all over the floor. But I kind of look in the camera, and I'm like, one of those. It was awesome. But yeah.
What's the toilet situation like in Japan? Like, is it just like a regular toilet like we have here?
They were the ones, the hotels I was in. I mean, I haven't been there a lot, a couple trips, okay. But they were that particular hotel. Most of them were just like normal hotels, but that particular one had this. I mean, it had a whole keyboard. You sat there, and it was like all these buttons, and you could do different things, and you could change
it. Up your alley, Jeremiah.
I want it in every bathroom in my home.
You can get them. You can get them. I've heard they're more popular than they used to be.
So when I come to your house, when Dot and I come down there, I can use your bidet.
Hey, easy now. Easy. I didn't say that. I'm not charging admission fee. I don't know. You pay for my dinner.
My buddy Matt, who he called about the bidet in his house, he built like a whole bathroom just for himself. And he gets mad if his wife or son goes in there to use it. Like, he literally wanted to put a key and lock on it because he was like, he wants his own toilet, his own bidet. He's got everything. His toilet seat is heated. The bidet has heated water. I mean, he's got it. He's like, I'm doing my bathroom my way. That Japanese heated air dry, that works. Rod outdoors.
See, Rod outdoors knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Look at what Richard Stamper said. He said, so I tried one of these pocket sprayers. I think they're a joke to see how many people would get suckered in. I use this one that Pennsylvania Camp and Canoe uses. It's called a pocket bidet. Yeah, that's the one I use. Now, here, I do have one. We'll make this a wrap-up question, all right?
Okay.
Boys, let's close up the show. This is a wrap. Before I ask this question, David, will you go ahead and tell everybody where to find you, how to find you on YouTube, Instagram, etc., if they want to enjoy the experience that is David Gray.
Oh, well, I've got a website, nice. David Gray Media. If you just do davidgraymedia.com, you can find it. And it's got links to everything on there. And it also has a lot of like 80 different blog articles I've written. So like all the videos, most of the videos are there. I haven't done the last couple, but, and then they got different links. So if you want the written version with pictures of stuff, plus, you know, a lot of the stories we talk about, I put out there too. If there's like a good story, then I'll write it down. So I got in this mode where doing a lot of writing, and then all the links. So you can also get, on Instagram, I think it's David Gray Media. You can probably find it. My YouTube channel, if you just look for David Gray Backpacking, I always just called it David Gray. But if David Gray Backpacking, you'll find it.
It'll come right up. Yeah.
And then there's Twitter too. I got a Twitter thing, David Gray Media. There's a Smug Mug thing. There's a link on the website to Smug Mug if you want the really fancy version of the pictures or buy them or anything that's out there.
Well, you have some amazing photography. I was going to, that's what I always search when I go on YouTube is David Gray photography, but okay. Your YouTube is at David Gray IN.
Oh, okay.
David Gray IN, all one word. And for the record, because I think John messed this up last time, how do you spell your last name?
G-R-A-Y.
With an A.
Yep. With an
A. We got that settled. All right. You guys ready for my wrap up question?
Yeah.
Who wants to? Oh, look at this one. Look at this comment before I ask you guys. Do you clean your bidet head?
Of course he does.
I don't know if I have
of course. He does. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. That's a silly question.
Oh, that's pretty disgusting. I think I have a drum roll here. Let me see if I can find it. Nope, that's somebody else. Oh, here we go. Guys, can you drink from the same water bottle that you put your pocket bidet on top of? Jason, you go first.
That's a definite no. Absolutely not, because that bottle is too close to your butthole. And and second, you can't do it with your toothbrush. The one that you brush your teeth with has to be a different bottle, too. Both have to be different. Bidet, 100%. And
I don't think
brush
a pocket
teeth,
bidet is getting anywhere near my backpack.
Exactly.
So, David, for the record, is that a no on using the same drinking bottle that you have your pocket bidet?
That is a no, yeah.
All right. Well, Jeremiah? I guess we'll have to let our viewers decide, because I'm going to put a poll on this episode. And I want you to go, if you're on Spotify, vote in the poll and let us know, is it okay? And we'll look at this in next week's episode, John and I will. Is it okay?
It's insane.
Is it okay to drink from the same bottle that you stick your pocket bidet in that sprays the poop from around your...
So if you have the bidet, you have your pocket bidet, like how far away are you from the bad area, the Death Star?
It depends on how good your aim is, I suppose. You could be anywhere from 1 inch to a foot, maybe 18 inches. I don't know. Like, maybe 2 feet.
You're going to have to call this show the poop show, because...
Where you talk about water spots.
I was trying to keep it classy.
If you push the bidet and try to spray down there, will the water go down your pants and stuff? You take your pants totally off when you go poop?
Well, you can if you want. I normally don't.
Well, how do you do the bidet then? Doesn't it go like, goes the water goes in?
Well, what do you
got to go out somewhere? I mean, is the water to stay in there?
Remember, you're squeezing the bottle, so you can determine the PSI. So you can do anything from a trickle to like car sprayer. No? David, so I don't know why you're laughing. This is a serious conversation here.
So you're still squatting, right?
You're squatting, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd have to have your butt back. Right? You know, you'd have to have the right angle or you're going to make a mess.
That's what I would think.
Well, I guess that...
Then
I guess
how do you dry off?
We need diagrams.
I typically, I'm going to have to make a how-to video on this.
Can you dry off with TP?
Yeah, I dry off with TP, or you can paint rocks.
Why are you using the bidet?
Well, it reduces your toilet paper consumption by 90%.
But it's toilet paper.
I know it's toilet paper, but it's cleaner than toilet paper.
It increases your water consumption, so you got to be around a water source, man. You can't be like in a low water area.
That is a downside. You don't want to use the bidet in a low water area because you don't want, but it really only takes an ounce or two if you're a dead eye.
How can you even see it?
Well, Jason, I've been using a bidet every day for years now. So, you know, do you have to look every time you wipe? I mean, you look at the paper, but you don't have to look behind you.
Wow. I'm so confused.
What? How are you confused? We're supposed to let the audience decide here, and here we are still talking about this.
Well, okay. I'll let them decide. I mean, you gave a big range of where, how close the bottle is. You said it could be 1 inch or it could be 18 inches. That's a big discrepancy of how close the bottle is to the area.
I mean, well, yeah, but it's user determined. You can be
either way it goes. I'm not really sure how that works. I'm not sure if the pocket bidet, the pocket bidet get like really close.
Like, well, the pocket bidet is only like, I don't know, like a few inches long. It's just a little rubber piece that fits into your water bottle.
I can almost picture all the people in the audience out Googling a pocket bidet right now.
I know, man.
Any idea what we're talking about?
Where's my royalties on that?
And this live show was sponsored by Pocket Bidet. Go get yours right now. Yeah.
If y'all want to really sponsor the show, I'll definitely take you up on that. But yes.
Wait a minute. Let me ask this question too.
Okay, go ahead.
So is the Pocket Bidet from Amazon?
Actually, mine was sent to me by a viewer, but yes, I have found them on Amazon. Do you want me to text you a link once we get off the air?
No, but it's probably made in China. So you have a Chinese product close to your thing. Just saying, what if it's defect or anything? Well,
that's a
it's poor American-made, Jeremiah.
Well, you know, you have Chinese-made headphones closer to your brain than my pocket bidet ever comes to my butthole.
Whatever. It might as well have been made in Mississippi.
I love that sound effect.
Oh, all right. With that said, guys, thank you all both for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. Go check out all David's stuff. Go check out Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir's YouTube channel and all the awesome trips. Guys, I had fun. And Jason, you got anything else you want to say?
I'm going to get that book of How to Poop in the Woods.
Yeah. I wish I could have showed it to you. I can't find it. Sorry about that.
No.
It is a real thing, though. I don't know if you can still get it, but I know it was real once.
No, I appreciate you having me on here. It was fun knowing JK. Hope JK's having a good time wherever he is on there. It's fun. You told me David was going to be on here, and I was like, man, we'll have a blast on here. And everybody that watched the show, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's always fun commenting on the show and talking to everybody when we watch the show, watch you and JK. And you and JK knock it out of the park. Y'all are really good with everything. So, thanks, man. Thanks to everybody.
Well, very kind words. And thank you, like Jason said, to everybody that tuned into the show. And we'll see you all in the next one. Adios, folks.
See you guys. Thank you.